Born with spina bifida, Ryan Chalmers has never had the full use of his legs, but that hasn't stopped him from going places. The 24-year-old New York State native was a member of the University of Illinois wheelchair athletics team and competed in the marathon at last year's London Paralympics. Earlier this year, Ryan took on a challenge in which he traveled the distance of 2 to 3 full marathons every day. For 71 days, Ryan Chalmers pushed himself across the country in his racing wheelchair. Ryan called his L.A. to New York trip Push Across America to draw attention to the potential for accomplishment inside every person with a disability. Halfway through, Ryan stopped in Champaign-Urbana and talked about his project on Focus. Today we'll hear that interview again, plus another interview with Ryan made after he completed his Push Across America. I'm Jim Meadows. Focus is coming after the news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Born with spina bifida, Ryan Chalmers has never had the full use of his legs, but that hasn't stopped him from going places. The 24-year-old New York State native became an accomplished wheelchair athlete competing in the marathon in last year's Paralympics in London. This year, Ryan embarked on a journey that had him traveling the distance of 2 to 3 full marathons every day. On April 6th, he left from Los Angeles for a trip across the country to New York City, pushing himself along on his racing wheelchair. Ryan called the trip Push Across America a way to draw attention to the potential for accomplishment inside every person with a disability or without. Midway through the trip, he stopped in Champaign-Urbana, the home of his alma mater, the University of Illinois, and during that stop, he appeared on Focus, and we will rebroadcast that interview in a little bit. But Ryan went on from Champaign-Urbana to complete his Push Across America, arriving in New York City on June 15th. I spoke to Ryan Chalmers just a few days after he finished his journey. Well, Ryan Chalmers, welcome back to Focus and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we're speaking about 5 days now after you arrived on your racing wheelchair in Central Park in New York after traveling across the continental United States. Tell me a little about that moment when you arrived.
Oh, it was an incredible moment. We had a great audience come in Central Park. There was great media attention that came along the way. The NYPD, you know, took us over right when we got into New York, and I had a great arrival. And so it was really a phenomenal grand finale to, you know, the finish of this 71-day adventure. It was, it was really bittersweet for me when, you know, I saw the ending. I get to see my family. There's about 20 family members that came to the finish line, so it was nice to see them. But, you know, I'm sad that it's over. This is something that, you know, I've been thinking about for the past couple of years now. And so it's definitely bittersweet, but I'm excited for the next chapter of the journey, which is now, you know, going out and talking about, you know, what we encountered along the way.
It's interesting that you express regret that the trip is over. This was 71 days of pushing yourself on a racing wheelchair. That just sounds very grueling. I think it's supposed to be like 2 or 3 marathons per day.
Yeah, it was about an average of 60 miles a day. And, physically and mentally, it was very difficult throughout the entire push. But, you know, I was doing it for a great cause, and raised a lot of awareness along the way. And so, you know, that's something that, you know, was a goal to begin with. And it's sad that it's over because, you know, I'm not on the road and able to, you know, try to build as much awareness, you know, going forward. But, you know, now we're really just excited to really talk about the journey. It's going to be a fun, you know, couple of months ahead.
So from going on from now, you'll be what sort of groups are you scheduled to be speaking to, and what's the message that you want to tell?
You know, we're in the scheduling stage right now of you know, figuring out, you know, who we're going to be speaking with. And I just spoke with a hospital, Mount Sinai, here in New York yesterday, actually, which was always great. And now, you know, so we're going to be planning going forward. But that's, you know, exciting, and we've gotten a lot of requests to go out and chat about what we're doing. But Roger, who is the founder of the nonprofit organization that I was doing it for, and I, you know, I've talked about going through different cities that, you know, I didn't push through throughout the entire push. And you know, being able to, you know, based on the connections that he has, going to talk about the journey that we embarked on.
Are there any particular events, looking back on those 71 days, are there any particular events or moments, people you met, places you went to that stick particularly in your memory?
You know, it was really the journey as a whole that I'm going to remember forever. You know, there's moments in each and every single day that really stood out to me, whether it be a little kid at the finish line waiting for you, whether he heard your story and wanted to meet you, or, you know, the landscape as, you know, we're climbing the Rocky Mountains and I got to look up and look out to the mountain I was climbing for the past couple of hours. You know, those moments are always going to stick with me. But, you know, I may not remember what order all these images in my head came from, but, you know, there's moments in each day that I'm going to remember forever.
You were working on this, planning on this, I think you said, for a couple of years before you started earlier in the spring. And what was it like, you know, going from the planning stage, which took so long, to actually being on the road? Was there a certain tension, expectation? What did it feel like?
You know, it was, you know, I remember actually April 5th, which was the day before we started. I just remember me being extremely hyper, wanting to, you know, help out as much as I possibly could, you know, getting things done. You know, there's a lot of last-minute stuff that needed to be done. I just remember really being hyper, and everyone was just like, hey, why don't you just calm down and, you know, go take a nap or something, or go lay down, you got a busy day tomorrow. But, you know, on April 6th, when I first pushed off, it was really, I had this just wow moment where, you know, it's something that you work really, really hard to get going. And, you know, it was an incredible feeling to just get it started. And then, you know, just like on June 15th, it was just this surreal moment of, wow, you know, now it's over. And now, you know, what's next? What's the planning going forward?
And along the way, no lows. So you never thought, and of course you weren't truly alone at any time. You had a support team following you around. But did you ever think, you know, what am I doing here out on the road pushing myself on a wheelchair?
You know, there was never a time where I wanted to quit or anything like that. Yeah, there was difficult times where, you know, the shoulders would be hurting or, you know, you're really tired. But it was, you know, you're gaining an incredible amount of awareness along the way. And so even though it was difficult, you know, those difficult times, you know, we're all worth it. And, you know, when you do see, when you get to meet people and, you know, reading the Facebook pages or meeting people at the end of the day, it makes all of the difficult parts of the push, you know, really start to disappear. And, you know, it really is just encouraging. And really, for me, you know, that's what this whole push was all about.
From now on, you're going to be spending some time now talking to people about this trip. What's the main push of the message you want to get out there?
You know, it's really just to never give up. Stay focused. You know, find your passion. Find your reason to go out and, you know, try new things. Try something that you may never have thought you'd be able to accomplish. And really, just as long as you have your reason for trying these things, you know, go out and do them because you can.
Were there any people that you spoke to along the way that you felt you really made a connection with that message? If you could just grab one of them and tell it to us.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, kids along the way that I got to talk with that really, you know, I felt like got the message. There was actually a little kid named Hunter who I met in Cincinnati. And he was 5 years old, and I was talking to him and his family, and little did I know that they actually they drove to New York City to watch me arrive. And, you know, just they decided to come out, and, you know, I met them in Cincinnati, and they were really excited about it and wanted to see me arrive in New York City. And, you know, that's really one of those touching moments that, you know, really the awareness that you're trying to build was happening.
And was this a kid who's using a wheelchair himself or has some other...
Yes, he does. Yes, he is a disability as well.
And in that particular case, that's really where you want the message to hit home, is letting them know that that's not really a limitation for them.
Right, and it's really, you know, a message for anybody, able-bodied or not, you know, someone with a disability or someone that doesn't have a disability. It's really just finding your reason to trying new things, you know, working at it day by day and, you know, going out and accomplishing it.
What long-term plans do you have now? Do you have some career goals you want to set up on, or is it something Do you have work you want to do that would build from efforts like Push Across America?
Yeah, you know, right now my focus is on a lot of these post-push events. I'm going to be a part of the nonprofit organization that I was doing the push for, Stay Focused, for as many years as the founder will allow me to be a part of the organization. And then, you know, over the next couple of years, my true focus is going to be on Rio for the 2016 Paralympic Games. You know, I'm going to be, you know, going, you know, doing this push really opened my eyes to, you know, what type of athlete I wanted to become. Going to London for the Paralympic Games, you know, really opened my eyes as well. And, you know, I want to see how well I can do in Rio with 3 hard years of training.
And could you describe what sort of athlete you want to be?
You know, I want to be, you know, it's really interesting going through, you know, the Push Across America and, you know, your perspective of what a difficult day is, really. You know, early on in the push, I would have thought, you know, going 55 miles on a flat ground was something, you know, really, really difficult. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm pushing up a mountain and all of a sudden that becomes, you know, the most difficult thing that I've done. And then, you know, another day, something else happens, and that's the most difficult day. So for me, you know, it really opened my eyes to what difficult is and how you could push through that. And so, you know, I really basically just want to work as hard as I possibly can go for the next 3 years and be the best athlete that I can, and really in Rio, just see what happens.
The Paralympics in Rio will be the pinnacle. Are there any competitive events that you'll be competing in, say, in the next few months?
I will be competing in the Chicago Marathon, and I will also be competing in the New York City Marathon in November. It was really cool for me because I got to go push over the Verrazano Bridge while pushing in, you know, to Central Park this past Saturday. And, you know, it gave me a glimpse because, you know, for the New York City Marathon, you start on the Verrazano Bridge. And so, you know, it got me really excited to, you know, get out there and start training hard again.
Meanwhile, I see that the pushacrossamerica.org website is still open. Are you going to keep that up for a little while longer?
Yeah, no, that will be up for a long time. You know, we have a lot of things coming up, and we have a lot of, you know, media attention, and we have, you know, this isn't the end of the push. And so, you know, we're excited about it. There will be a lot of updates for both myself and, you know, the Stay Focused organization that will be going on in the push. And then we also are going to continue each year to, in the Cayman Islands, we're going to be doing a push across Cayman, which is a 55-mile push around the island, which, you know, so there will always be updates about what's going on with the organization and all the, you know, donations that we earned along the way, being able to show people, you know, what they contributed to.
Ryan Chalmers, again, congratulations on completing the Push Across America.
And thank you.
Best of luck to you in the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
That was Ryan Chalmers on the phone speaking to us just days after completing his Push Across America. Now let's go back to May 23rd, when Ryan was in the middle of his cross-country journey and took some time out to appear on Focus. Considering his daily ordeal, my first question for Ryan was, how are you feeling?
I'm doing all right. You know, we're on schedule, and I'm feeling good. I have a great team that comes across the country with me, and my athletic trainer, Carla Wessels, who it helps me recover each night after I'm done with my 60 miles, has done a great job, you know, getting me from point A to point B.
Now, 60 miles a day, if you were training for a marathon, which is, I gather, pretty much the top endurance level for a wheelchair athlete who's doing racing, you wouldn't do 60 miles a day, would you?
No, ever since I got to the University of Illinois in 2007, I really focused on marathons. And, you know, typically for training for a marathon, you don't even do a marathon that much. You don't even go 26.2 miles. You know, you'll fluctuate between 15 to 22 miles. Before this push, you know, the farthest that I've ever gone is really, you know, 34 miles. We just kind of do it for fun, you know, in the summer occasionally. But before this, yeah, it wasn't really too many distance under my belt.
So what do you do to ramp up the 60 miles?
You know, I didn't really change my training too much as I focused on the Push Across America. I was so focused on London, the Paralympic Games, and after I got back from Paralympic Games, I kind of transitioned a little bit. I worked with my coach, Adam Blakeney, here at the University of Illinois, and he kind of talked to me about what my training would be, and it didn't really change too much. I added a little bit of weight training so that I would gain a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle mass, so that, you know, going across the country, going 60 miles a day, you lose it a little bit. You use a lot more calories than you're used to. So I wanted to gain a little bit of weight before I started the push. And then, you know, I did a couple, you know, 30 milers that maybe I wouldn't have if I wasn't training for the push. But basically, you know, my coach told me, no matter what, you know, this isn't something you can fully train for. And, you know, you can't really get your body used to 6 to 8 hours in your racing chair, you know. So it was one of those things where he said, you know, you don't really want 2,000 miles under your belt before you actually start the Push Across America campaign. And so we kind of, you know, made sure that I was physically ready. And then the big part of it was just getting mentally ready for it. Because there was just a lot of times where going across the country, you know, you may be in the middle of nowhere, or you're just pushing by yourself for 3, 4, or 5 hours in a day. And you just have to be mentally prepared for that.
And I take it, you know, you come with a team. There are people traveling with you. I take it they're probably not in chairs alongside you, but they're around.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're doing it, it's not like you can carry on a conversation with them.
There's sometimes where they'll jump on a bike and hang out with me for, you know, 15, 20 miles. Sometimes they'll even come on for the entire ride if they want to. And so I sometimes I do have entertainment. My current roommate here at the University of Illinois, Aaron Pike, he's also a Paralympian. He's come on the trip as well. And so sometimes he'll jump in his racing chair next to me and push, you know, 15, 20 miles as well. So there are some days where I do have people that push us on the side of me or a bike next to me. And then other days, you know, it's me by myself.
I would think going through the flat prairie of Illinois, at least the flat former prairie of Illinois, is relatively easy, but you must have gone through some fairly punishing terrain between Los Angeles and here.
Yeah, you know, all the terrain's been so different going across the country early on. Yeah, it was a lot of climbing, getting all the way through to Colorado. So a good portion of what we've already done has been just climbing, and my body definitely had to get used to it. Here in Champaign, Illinois, you know, there's not really too many mountains to climb. And so I had to get ready for that, but I had to do it while I was pushing across the country. So, you know, my hands got cut up a little bit more than they would have because my hands weren't really used to climbing because of the gloves that I use. And so, and then my back and my wrists. So there's different portions of what kind of took its toll when I was going across the country, especially during the climbing days.
You went through some desert terrain as well, didn't you?
We did. Yes, there's definitely, we've gone through a day of, you know, a sandstorm, which was oh so fun. And we've definitely gone through, you know, the desert part. We've gone through, you know, southern Utah where there was snow on the ground when we're, you know, 7,000 feet up. And so it's been great.
Great. That's a good word to remember. And tell me about the idea behind Push Across America. I know the project is hosted by a group called Stay Focused. Roger Mueller is with Stay Focused, and we'll be talking with him later in the show. Did Stay Focused think this idea up, or was this your idea?
This was a casual conversation that Roger Mueller and I were having, actually in the Cayman Islands where we run the programs. And, you know, we were just having a coffee, and he actually heard about a guy who was going to run across the country. And in just a casual conversation, you know, he asked if I thought I could push my racing chair across the country. And I knew I wanted to make a difference in the organization, and this was a perfect opportunity for me to do that because it was able to put my passion of wheelchair racing and my passion of the organization to be able to make that difference. And then we've kind of gone with it ever since.
So the main message of Push Across America, what is it and who is it for?
You know, it's pretty much for everybody. You know, one of the main goals that we have is going across the country is to raise awareness for all persons with disabilities, but show people, you know, able-bodied or not, you know, if you're passionate, you set goals for yourself, you can accomplish anything.
Was there a time in your life when you really needed this message?
You know, I think that everybody needs that message. You know, I think that, you know, doing something difficult, doing something that you don't think that you can, you need to have a reason. You need to have a phenomenal reason to be able to do those sort of things. I remember going, you know, early on stages of the push, you know, where there was times where I had to just literally just stop for a second and just think, like, because I was going through, you know, 95 degree weather, or I was just pushing up a mountain for 5 hours, and I just had to stop and think for a moment and remember the reason why I started the journey in the first place, and then you're able to push on.
I'm just thinking there would have been moments where just everything weighs on you, and in some ways it would be easy to stop. I mean, naturally somebody would stop at that point if they hadn't set the, if they hadn't set this sort of goal.
Yeah, you know, I told people from the beginning, you know, that this is what we're going to do. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, mentioned, you know, do you think you can actually do it? And the whole time I've said yes. And, you know, that's been the case. And so, you know, there's no time to quit. You just got to push forward.
I want to bring Roger Mueller into the conversation now. And Roger, you're the person who launched Stay Focused Incorporated out in the Cayman Islands.
Right. I started the organization 10 years ago. In Grand Cayman. That's where we run our programs.
Okay. And tell me about the program.
Basically, you know, as Ryan knows, I was inspired to start the organization by my older brother who uses a wheelchair. He's a paraplegic and has used a wheelchair for a long time. He got certified in diving relatively late in life. And he and I went for a dive together in Grand Cayman in 2000. At that point, I'd already decided I wanted to start a nonprofit. And seeing how much he enjoyed being out of his wheelchair and in the water, I decided this would be a wonderful opportunity for any young person with a disability to have this experience.
Tell me about that experience, being in the water. And I don't know whether it's an extra challenge or if it's sort of a liberation, not having full use of your legs, doing scuba diving.
I've been doing sports ever since I was 8 years old. I've tried a bunch of different sports, you know, soccer, baseball, and you know, scuba diving is one of those sports where you can, you know, go in the water and, you know, dive and you can look over to your left and see, you know, Roger, an able-bodied person, and, you know, you're doing the exact same thing that he is. There's no adaptive equipment on you. And so it's the only sport that I've ever done that allows that.
You can cast the wheelchair away for that period.
Right. And it's just a sense of freedom.
Now, see, I don't know where the limitations begin. I mean, what muscles you need to be able to move easily in the water, are they all available to you?
Yeah, I use my arms. And, you know, so, you know, when an able-bodied person is diving, they'll use their legs. That's the only difference. And so, you know, it's pretty much as easy for me as it is for them because, you know, when you're diving, you know, you're not going for speed. You're not sprinting around. You just want to see what, you know, the water has to offer. And so you're just going nice and easy. And, you know, it's an incredible experience.
Roger, with this program, you work with kids with different sorts of disabilities?
Right. All different kinds of physical disabilities. It is a legitimate PADI certification, so there's an academic portion as well as the skills. And so we have to assess the candidates very carefully and focus on teens and young adults with physical disabilities who we feel will be able to complete the program successfully.
Might there be someone in different situations? Someone may not have full use of their legs, but maybe someone else has a different disability, perhaps not full use of arms or something like that?
Typically, as Ryan mentioned, they do have use of their arms. I mean, we have had, for example, a number of young people with cerebral palsy who may be hemiplegic, for example, and they don't have use of basically the right side of their body is somewhat constrained. And we can work around that. But for the most part, the participants in our programs have use of their arms.
Besides getting this skill and, you know, this and I can see scuba diving can be rewarding for anybody. What do you think it does for the people in this program?
Well, we've been very fortunate. We've had great success. We've successfully certified about 70 teens and young adults with disabilities, and the takeaways have been universally the same. The participants feel more confident about themselves, and one of our goals was to target an age group where we felt we could have the most impact. It also encourages them to try new things because most of our participants and their parents, for that matter, never thought that they would learn to scuba dive, no less in the Cayman Islands. And we've also learned that that the program, one of the benefits is that they learn to set higher goals, that, you know, whether they're already competing in sports or maybe it's an academic goal, as a result of their Stay Focused experience, they tell us that, you know, I'm going to try a little bit harder. You know, maybe I'm going to, you know, establish a new PR, or maybe I'm going to, you know, try to get a higher GPA. So we've been really thrilled with the long-lasting impact that the program seems to have on these young people.
Ryan, can you attest to that? Did that make a change in your life?
It absolutely did. Yes, and that's why in 2005, you know, when I went through the program, I knew immediately.
And you were how old in 2005?
I was 15.
Okay.
And so I knew that I wanted to be able to make a difference in the organization right away. And also I was given the opportunity in 2007 to become the first mentor of the program, which meant that I was able to come back through the program and mentor, you know, new-time divers, first-time divers. And that was giving me the opportunity because when you're young, you're going through one of these programs, you don't really see the change that's going in within yourself. And I was given the opportunity to see the change within other people.
See, it doesn't feel dramatic when it's happening to you, but you saw dramatic things happen to other people, and then maybe other people had seen that happen to you.
Right, and you just, yeah. And it really shows you, you know, the differences that it's made in yourself and within others.
Mm-hmm. We have an email. I think someone transcribed this for this person, but he writes, "Hi, my name is Corbin, and I am 6 years old. I met you yesterday and asked you about crossing bridges. I have another two questions." You remember this guy?
I do remember.
Okay.
Corbin.
I have another two questions. What do you find difficult, and what do you enjoy?
Difficult. Let me think. Definitely, there are definitely elements going across the country that I have found quite difficult. Heat is probably my biggest thing, and it's actually, you know, it hasn't happened too much, but there's definitely been times where, you know, going into the push, I didn't think heat would affect me that much, but when I'm in it for 3, 4, 5 hours in a day, you know, it can kind of change you mentally. Going across the country, you have to stop and think a lot more. It kind of just tries to stray you a little bit because your mind is going to try to mess with you a little bit more than your body will. You can push on as much as you want, but your mind is going to kind of stray you. So, you know, I definitely have found moments where it was hot and I've had to, you know, put a cold cloth over my head and be, you know, just sit down for a second and recoup. And so that was probably, you know, one of the biggest elements that has affected me, along with, you know, elevation or wind going across the country as well. But I think that heat affects me the most, you know. And then the second question was,
what do you enjoy?
You know, I've really enjoyed the entire experience. You know, there have been difficult times, like I mentioned, but what's so great about going across the country, you know, I've never driven across the country before. I've hit a lot of cities that I've never been to before, that some I've never even heard of before this Push Across America campaign. And so what's so great about it is that each day has something to offer. And so there's always those memorable moments in each day. And so that's what's been so phenomenal going across the country, is you have those moments.
Okay. It's time for a short break, and we'll be back in a moment with more from Ryan Chalmers. This is Focus on WILL. We're back on Focus on WILL. I'm Jim Meadows, and our show today continues about Ryan Chalmers, born with spina bifida, an accomplished wheelchair athlete who spent 71 days pushing himself all the way across the United States in his racing wheelchair in a campaign called Push Across America. He came through Champaign-Urbana on his way from Los Angeles to New York City, and he joined me on Focus for this interview, originally broadcast on May 23rd. I just got an email in from my producer, Lindsay Moon, who does a little running herself. But in her words, he is doing an insane thing with his body. What's your diet look like during this trip?
You know, we definitely monitor, you know, my weight. I'll weigh myself in the morning and I'll weigh myself at night, make sure that I'm not, you know, losing too much weight going across the country. It has definitely fluctuated as I'm going across, especially during days of heat where, you know, I've gotten as low as 120. And usually I'm around 125. And so, and then that's just kind of water weight that you lose going across the country. But typically in the morning, you know, we'll stay at hotels going across the country. And so we'll eat just a basic continental breakfast, depending on how hungry I am in the morning. And so it would just be like a cereal or a yogurt or sometimes eggs. And then each hour that I'm pushing, I'll stop on the side of the road, or, you know, you'll get in a shoulder and, or, you know, gas station, and I'll take 5 minute break, drink some water, Gatorade, pomegranate juice, and then I'll have, you know, a Gatorade chew or a Clif Bar, just to kind of get a little bit of energy as I'm going across. And that will happen actually every hour. And then we typically take a lunch break around 11:30, and so I'll eat like a half sandwich with just your basic meats in there, and then, you know, banana peppers. I love banana peppers, and you know, some spinach, and then you'll have a little parfait on the side and some hummus and chips, and then, you know, you'll push on again, and at the end you'll eat whatever, you know, restaurants are in the area for dinner.
This just doesn't sound like the sort of diet for 60 miles a day.
Yeah.
You must be burning it very efficiently.
Yeah, yeah, we've been trying and we've monitored the weight, so you know it's gone really well for me so far. I'm still not used to eating, you know, a lunch and then going to push for, you know, 3-4 more hours. And so, you know, that's something that I had to get used to early on, and it's gotten a little bit better as I'm going across the country. But, you know, we definitely monitor it and, you know, have those snacks that I don't normally have, so.
Let's go to a phone call. And line one, we have Marion in Urbana. Good morning. You're on the air on Focus.
Hi. I had a two-part question, one related to your current trip, but the other actually more to wheelchair racing. And that is, you know, I've watched bicycle racing, and I know team tactics and drafting play a huge part in bicycle racing, and I didn't know if that was true of wheelchair racing. And then the second thing is, if it is, has that been a big adjustment for your solo trip now, not to have the ability to maybe rest a little bit and draft off of someone else?
Yeah, drafting definitely happens in competitive racing. You know, it will happen when you're a junior athlete, and it will go all the way up to Paralympics. You know, we get a big draft hiding behind, you know, another wheelchair athlete. So that definitely helps in any race. And, you know, going across the country, there have been times, you know, when a biker comes next to me, and sometimes they'll, you know, be on the right side with a nice crosswind. And, you know, so I'll be able to get a little bit of break there. But typically when I'm pushing by myself, you know, it is one of those things that you just have to anticipate that, you know, you're not really able, you don't draft as much as you normally would. And so it will, sometimes when you have a crosswind or sometimes when you have a headwind, you know, you just have to anticipate that that day is going to take longer than you originally intended it to. Because if we had a tailwind, you know, you would end 2 hours earlier than if you had a headwind. And so that's just something that we anticipate, and we kind of just push on from there. And you always kind of hope that there's a tailwind, you know, to your back. And which was the case actually yesterday when I pushed the 71 miles into Champaign. We pretty much had a tailwind the entire time and ended a lot earlier than we originally thought we were going to. And so those are always the really, really good days.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Marion. And we have another caller now on line four, Amy, calling from Illinois. Amy, I understand that your daughter was an old classmate of Ryan's.
Yes, she was.
And yes, go ahead.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say hi to Ryan. I have enjoyed following you on Facebook.
How you doing?
And I think I'm great. And maybe someday we'll get a chance to meet.
Absolutely.
But like I said, it's been a pleasure watching you and following you on Facebook. And you're an inspiration to everyone.
Thank you very much.
So you take care, Ryan, and keep pushing.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, hon.
Thank you very much, Amy. Beth in Normal emails, I so admire your efforts and achievements. Two questions. Are you familiar with mindfulness meditation? Is this anything that you find yourself using as you go through this process?
You know, there's definitely been times where I've had to just be by myself and just think. And so, you know, I've never been one to meditate before the push. And you know, it's definitely, I've just had moments where I've had to get time to myself and just think, relax, and then I can push forward.
And by thinking, is that a way to bring you out of everything that you're going through, or are you just trying to focus on what you're doing right now?
Yeah, it's really focusing on the goal, you know, because your mind can kind of stray. You can start thinking more about, you know, your back hurting or your shoulders hurting, and, you know, just stopping and thinking kind of just set your mind a little bit and makes you focus on the goal.
Beth was also wondering, how are you going to continue your efforts as you grow older? And I was thinking, you know, you're about 24 years old now. You're probably at your physical peak. And but that's not always going to be the case. Is this? But do you think you'll have you think you'll have physical reserves that you're going to be able to work with even as your peak performance diminishes?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm going to be, you know, wheelchair racing for a very long time. I'm going to be, after the push across America, I'm going to be very focused on Rio for the 2016 Paralympic Games. That's going to be three hard years of focus there. And then after that, you know, it's we'll see. But I'm definitely going to be wheelchair racing for a very, very long time.
How did you first get involved in serious wheelchair sports competition?
So I've been, you know, competing since I was 8 years old. I got lucky when I was young. A woman named Joanne Armstrong came into my hospital room, actually, and she was the coach of a wheelchair track team.
What were you in the hospital for at the time?
Just a surgery that I had. To be honest with you, I don't know exactly which one, because I've had a bunch of them.
Particular complications with spinal bifida or side effects?
Yeah, early on I had a lot of surgeries just growing up at a young age, and just for, you know, complications or just, you know.
Is that pretty much par for the course with this particular ailment?
It does. You do have, at a young age, you do have to have a fair amount of surgeries, some more than others. But, you know, you just, it happens, and you go on. And I got lucky because I was in the hospital, and she came in and started talking to my parents and myself about wheelchair racing. And I loved the idea right away. I was this little energetic kid who wanted to try things. And so I got the opportunity to do that, and at a young age, I also got the opportunity, my first 5K race, I got to meet a Paralympic athlete, and he did the race with us, and I was just so amazed seeing how fast he went. And so that was when I set the goal for myself that I wanted to be a Paralympic athlete. And so I've just been going ever since.
From, you know, aspiring to be a Paralympic athlete to being one, what's been the biggest reward for you personally?
Oh, yeah, no, it's been an incredible experience to be able to set a goal for yourself when you're 8 years old and be able to accomplish it. You know, it was something that is very rewarding. And, you know, I have to thank a lot of people that helped me get there. And so it was just an incredible experience for me, and it got me really focused on Rio for 2016.
Okay. What's been the big challenge along the way?
Along the way for the Push Across America or myself?
Yourself, just as a wheelchair athlete.
You know, I think that one of the hardest as an athlete that I've gone through is there was a time early on, I think a freshman, sophomore year in high school, I had a surgery that took me out of sports for about 2 years. And that was really tough for me because, you know, it was one of those times where, you know, I wasn't able to do really much of anything. And then I had to, you know, after I got back, was able to get in my racing chair, I went on the track. And I just remember my first lap around the track, I couldn't move, basically. You know, I was really skinny, and I couldn't move around the track as nearly as fast as I used to be. And that definitely took its toll. And, you know, I remember just after my first lap around the track, I was training. You know, my dad was helping coach me at the time. And, you know, I just did one lap, and I was like, wow, you know, like, what's happening? What is going on? And then I just remember taking the next lap. And then it became clear again that, you know, all I had to do was refocus and get myself back to where I was and then push myself harder to get better.
Okay. An email from Todd in Savoy, who writes that, I had the privilege of riding my bike with some other cyclists alongside Ryan yesterday. I just wanted to let him know that it was a wonderful experience and very inspiring. And he wants to ask a little bit more about your support team and the videographers documenting this experience. We should say hello to Edwin, who is the videographer documenting this focus interview for the Push Across America project.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And, you know, that's been part of it. I understand, you know, if you go to the Push Across America website or look up Push Across America on YouTube, you'll find some little progress reports that are coming out of the videos. But I understand there's also a long-form documentary that's going to come out of this as well.
Absolutely, and they do a phenomenal job with the weekly updates, and I'm looking forward to the finishing product.
And about the support team, what do they do for you?
They do a lot. Actually, we have a core team of six that comes along. Roger is the support guy. He drives behind me and makes sure that no one comes around him and messes around with, you know, swerving me off the road or anything, and he's done a phenomenal job with that. We also have Aaron Pike, who is my current roommate at the university, and he's a Paralympian as well, and he's the guy. He'll come out and push with me occasionally. He'll also help me with my nutrition. He'll help me with putting my chair together, you know, any if I flat, he'll be one of the guys to help and get it situated really quickly. We also have Carla Wessels, who is here at the university as well. She's the athletic trainer for the University of Illinois track and basketball team. And she's done a phenomenal job basically just making sure that I can get from point A to point B. And so, you know, each morning I feel recovered because of her. And then we also have Corey Pike, who is Aaron Pike's brother. And he drives the RV. He's the mechanic guy for the cars if anything goes wrong with that. And he'll also help Aaron with any mechanical problems with my chair as well. And then we have Parker, who is pictures. So every picture that you see on Facebook is pretty much Parker. He does phenomenal photography. And he's also the one who is critiquing the route now. We had a guy named Paul Curley who originally designed the route, who used to be a professional cyclist and has done bikes across the country. And so he's done a phenomenal job with the route. And now Parker's just kind of critiquing it, making sure that there's, you know, if there's detours that we have to take, he'll be the one to help us out. And then there's me.
I was thinking, you know, when you're out there in that chair, and in a lot of ways you are alone. You are the person who's making the journey. But these folks have got to be watching you like hawks along the way just to make sure everything's okay.
Oh, yeah. I definitely can look back, and I know that Roger's just staring straight, ready. And, you know, he's the one. He's probably the most focused out of everybody, making sure nobody messes around.
Roger, what's it been like being part of the team on the trip and watching Ryan make this effort?
Oh, it's been a great experience. We really do have a team, and by that I mean, you know, we're all in it for the right reasons. We all know what we're trying to accomplish. We all have each other's back. We wear different hats as called upon. So I'm really happy. Ryan did a great job sourcing the team. I mean, in choosing Carla and Aaron, in particular to be there with him to enjoy it has been great. For me personally, I feel like I have a front row seat for the push. As Ryan mentioned, I'm driving the support vehicle right behind him. Safety is our number one priority. You know, obviously, you know, our first priority is to get Ryan from Los Angeles to New York City over 71 days safely. And so I feel like my role is pretty important. I want to make sure that I keep a reasonable distance between Ryan and me. And I'm very focused on not allowing vehicles to get between us. That would be a very uncomfortable situation because you never know. You know, sometimes there are curiosity seekers. You know, cars come by and they see this guy in a racing chair and they say, oh, let's get a closer look or let's take a photo. But they could get distracted, and that's the last thing we want to have happen. So I like the support role, and I feel like I'm witnessing each and every day, every moment firsthand, because I see when Ryan has to swerve to avoid an object. I see when he sits up in his chair and he's stretching because maybe he's, you know, feeling a little bit of pain at that point. But I really feel as though I've gone through the journey with him, and for me that's been wonderful.
Okay, and we're going to say hello now to Ray on line 4, Ray in Effingham. Good morning, you're on Focus.
Good morning. My question, I don't think you've covered it yet, but I missed a little section. With springtime and the weather, so what do you do with the thunderstorms and the changing weather?
Yeah, we've actually had very good luck throughout the entire push. We're on day 48 out of 71 right now. And we've actually had one day of full rain, overcast, through the 60 miles that we pushed that day, but we just kept on going. And, you know, I'll put a little bit of tack on my gloves that I use so that I'm not slipping. But other than that, you just kind of push through the rain. But other than that day, we've had maybe two other ones where it's rained for maybe 30 minutes throughout the entire push. And so we've gotten really, really lucky throughout the entire time for weather.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Gary. Thank you very much, Ray. We are now going to Gary on line 1, Gary in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. I just turned this on, so maybe somebody asked this already. I did a cross-country bike ride back in 1970, which I thought was quite a challenge. And imagine doing this in a wheelchair. It's just a bit much for me. My question, though, has to do with legally, I believe in most states, a person in a wheelchair is a pedestrian. Have you run into problems with using the road as a vehicle?
No, we actually have not had any problems really at all. We've had, you know, some police officers come by and stop, you know, Roger in the support vehicle, but right when Roger tells them, you know, what we're doing and what the cause is, you know, they say, all right, just make sure, you know, you stay on the shoulder or make sure that, you know, your support vehicle and your lead vehicle are always between you and keep on going. Just stay safe. So we actually have so far had not had any issues.
Yeah, it seems you have it covered pretty well. Okay, well, good luck with that. It's a great story.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Gary. How long does it take to push a mile anyway? I don't think we've even gotten the idea of what sort of time you're clocking here.
Well, I'm for the Push Across America campaign, we're going anywhere between 10 to 12 miles an hour. So that's kind of the average speed that we'll be going.
If you were on, say, a marathon, what sort of pace would you be trying for?
Right. So then, you know, you'll try to go somewhere between, you know, three and a half minutes. So you try to keep for a marathon, you know, you can go about 17, 18 miles an hour. On a fairly good day, you'll be able to keep about a 17, 18 mile an hour average.
You just know that a marathon speed is just not going to work when you're doing 60 miles a day.
Exactly. It was tough to kind of figure out exactly, you know, what, you know, average speed you should be doing because, you know, after 2,000 miles under your belt, you know, it definitely takes its toll. So we had to kind of think about, you know, what the best average would be.
Mm-hmm. You were talking at the beginning, you and Roger, I think, about, you know, the point where you came up with this idea to go across America. How was there a point before that where you just where the idea came to you that you needed to do something to raise this sort of awareness?
Yes. I mean, I knew that, one, I wanted to make a difference in the organization early on, right, when, you know, I went through the program because it made just such a big difference in my life. And so, you know, it was one of those things that I just jumped on the opportunity right away. And, you know, growing up, you know, doing a bunch of different sports, you know, the goal is to raise this awareness for persons with disabilities and really just show people, you know, that there is no difference between someone who is an able-bodied or somebody who's, you know, has a disability, you know, when it comes to sports, especially when, you know, we work as hard as anybody when it comes to, you know, elite sport.
Mm-hmm. Have you found, has it changed over the years? I know there seemed to be more awareness, for instance, of the London Paralympics last year than there were in previous years. Have you seen a growth in the awareness of the sort of competition you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, London was phenomenal. They did an incredible job with the games. That was one of the things that amazed me right off the bat was that, you know, going into the stadium, there was 80,000 people in the stands pretty much every race. And, you know, people that I talked to that went to the Olympics and the Paralympic Games just to watch, they said that, you know, it was almost the exact same thing when you went to the Olympics and the Paralympic Games, which is incredible. And, you know, it's never been done before.
Okay. We have a caller. Let's go to line 4. Good morning to Sandy in Champaign. You're on the air on Focus.
Good morning, and I applaud you, and I think it's just wonderful, the focus that you're, and the money that you're raising in order to pursue your passion for scuba diving, et cetera. The reason why I'm calling is not only to applaud you, but also your teammates. Met you in Decatur and biked with you back, and it was an uplifting experience, of course, to return to Champaign and your friends. And I was wondering if, I was thinking if it wouldn't have been a nice idea, since you spent years planning this, to have had various teammates and friends along the way to wheelchair and support you in your wheelchair mission across the United States. Not just from Champaign, but maybe from Indiana, from Ohio. I know everybody is meeting you along the way, but or did you want this to be totally solo?
I don't know. Maybe I'll chime in. I know it's a good question because we debated that at the very beginning, and we really focused on the fact that, you know, this is a very challenging event. There are also permitting issues and liability issues associated with having other people involved in the push itself. And
wow.
So we, yeah, I mean, so yesterday was great because we knew the caliber of the athletes who would be joining Ryan. But we've had other requests in a couple of other cities. But when it comes down to it, we'd been advised again, from a liability standpoint and sometimes for permitting purposes, to make it Ryan's journey. What we've done, though, for example, in Derby, Kansas, and in Kansas City, Missouri, and coming up in other cities, you know, Ryan has been joined by other wheelchair athletes at the destination. And so that's been our way of involving them in the campaign and having them meet Ryan. But for the push itself, we thought it would be best if it was done solo.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really good to know. I understand. Something I hadn't even thought about, but I did see Ryan going down Route 10, and it was just such a privilege to see him and all of his teammates together supporting him and just welcoming him home.
Yeah, so, no,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. That was a blast to have everybody there, and it made the 71 miles that we were pushing that day go by a lot quicker.
And scuba diving, to be free underneath the water in peace and quiet, is just the best reward I think that a wheelchair athlete or any person could enjoy. So it really is a wonderful sport that he is pursuing.
Okay, well, thank
you. Share it with the rest of us.
Sandy, thank you very much for calling in.
You're welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you back. Champagne, and good luck on the rest of your journey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandy. Well, we're just about at the end of our time here on Focus, and our thanks for both you, Ryan, and for you, Roger Muller of Stay Focused, for being on the program with us today.
Thank you, Jim, for having us.
Thank you.
My interview with wheelchair athlete Ryan Chalmers and Roger Muller of Stay Focused aired live on Focus on May 23rd. Ryan finished his push across America at Central Park in New York City on June 15th. We welcome your comments about the program. Just check in at our website, will.illinois.edu/focus. I'm Jim Meadows for Focus on WILL.